So now if you would, turn with me to Luke 22. Luke 22, verses 39 through 51. We'll read this, and then when we get to the sermon, when we look at Psalm 119, keep this story in mind. But beloved, hear now God's most holy and inspired word, starting in Luke 22, starting at verse 39. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. If you would, now, and I believe it's in your bulletin as well, but Psalm 119, verses 145 through 152, from here. In Herod, we've been going through Psalm 119, and I've enjoyed it tremendously. I've tried to memorize Psalm 119, but I unfortunately quit after verse 8. If you can memorize it and you're more disciplined than me, I do encourage you to do that. But beloved, let us now, once again, give our undivided attention to the reading of God's most holy, inspired word, starting at verse 145. The psalmist says, "With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." Let us pray. O Lord our God, our gracious Lord, we do come before you knowing that we need you every hour. And we need you this hour. We need you to help us to not only hear your word, not only to understand your word, but also to believe your word. So Lord, work in us, work in our hearts, edify us, by the hearing of your word. And if there be anyone here that has not believed on your name yet, we ask that you would change their hearts so that they might confess Christ as their Savior and Lord. Help me also, Lord, to proclaim your word faithfully and boldly. Help me to give glory to your name. And I thank you for this opportunity to preach here in Lincoln. So, Lord our God, hear now our prayer. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm guessing that there are not many 90s alternative rock fans here in the congregation. But I enjoy alternative rock in the 90s, especially with female vocalists. And in the mid-90s, there was a fascinating song called Mother, Mother by Tracy Bonham. In the song, a young Tracy had left home and she was calling her mother. And to ease her mother's mind, she told her mother everything that she wanted to hear. She says to her in the song, "Sure, I'm sober. Sure, I'm sane. Life is perfect, never better. Still your daughter, still the same." But then in the chorus, we hear the reality of the situation that's going on in her life. She says, "I'm hungry, I'm dirty, I'm losing my mind. Everything's fine." And for the young people here, as you go off to college or you move away, you can tell your mother all the right things, yet she's still going to be concerned for you. And I think of the early church father, Augustine, and his mother, Monica. As a young man, Augustine left home to enjoy the pleasures and lusts of the world. And he may have written letters to his mother saying, "Everything's fine." Yet, that would not ease her mind about her rebellious son. And she never stopped praying for him. The further he ran away from God, the more she prayed for her son. And as we know, Augustine came to saving faith. And he is one of the most influential theologians in history. But in his confessions, Augustine had this to say about his mother. He says, "She, now gone from my sight," meaning that she had passed away, "who for years wept over me that I might live in God's sight." So I ask you today, what are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? Is it your family? Your sons and daughters? Is it your future? Or is it your finances? What's keeping you up at night? I know sometimes this happens to me, and sometimes it can be quite scary. And when I preach a passage like that week, there's almost like an object lesson. I come to know and understand this text. And this is one of them. With Angie having her surgery that she had on Friday, I spent a lot of times up at night thinking about the future and what could happen and what, you know. So I really understood the idea of staying up at night because of worry. But in our passage, we see how the psalmist handles his worry and his sleepless nights. So let's consider the context of this text. The way the psalmist describes his situation is that he's spending the early hours of the morning in prayer and in the Word. He says, "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate upon your word." And the time frame here is the third and fourth watch of the night. So that would be midnight to 6 a.m. And most people are asleep during that time, but we find that this psalmist is restless. He cannot sleep. I picture him laying in bed with his eyes open, or maybe he's walked into the living room and is sitting in his chair. He knows that men are seeking his life, seeking to hunt him down and kill him. He knows that the day will bring new temptations and new concerns. And he also knows the uncertainty of what tomorrow may bring. And I think we can relate to this, probably all of us, in the sense of having sleepless nights. Our minds wandering. We're thinking on everything that either went on the day prior or what we have before us in the future. Some of you might say to yourself, how can I sleep when I feel like my world is falling apart? And have you ever wondered this? Why do we worry about tomorrow? Why do we worry about tomorrow? Jesus explains in the Sermon on the Mount that nobody has made themselves taller or added a day to their life by worrying. Actually, we probably have shortened our stature and shortened our life by our worries. And I was thinking about this. I think worry is connected to our sense of control or our want of control. We say to ourselves, I can't control tomorrow, but I can control tomorrow in my head. But when tomorrow comes, what happens? Nothing that we really even came to our mind, for better or for worse. And the truth is, we have no control over the future. But we can take comfort that God is. We know that all things come not by chance, but by God's fatherly hand. The psalmist understood this, and therefore, instead of allowing his mind to wander, he chose to pray. He chose to meditate upon the Word of God. And let that be an encouragement to you, because I know that you're going to run into days where you're going to be worrying. And instead, when that temptation of worrying comes to your mind, pray. Read the Word of God. Get your mind on the promises of God rather than on the problems of life. But let us now consider the content of our passage. But first, we see that the psalmist holds nothing back. He says, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. He's not giving the Lord a few breadcrumbs of his worries and then storing up the rest within his heart. No, he holds nothing back. He throws it all up to the Lord. Now, yes, we are to go to the Lord reverently. But yet, we shouldn't hold back our concerns and our cares. We see that in the Psalms. And besides, he already knows what's on your heart before you even pray. Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, says, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. And then in verse 146, we are given the main petition of the psalmist's prayer. He says, I cry out to you, save me, I will keep your testimonies. So he's crying out concerning a particular situation. We don't know the exact situation. We don't even know who wrote Psalm 119. But he could be praying for deliverance from those who are hunting him down. He could be praying for deliverance from the fear of these men. It could be deliverance from his doubt of thinking that God will not hear his prayer. Or maybe his petition is answer D, all of the above. But regardless, the Lord knows what's in the psalmist's heart. He hears him, and he does answer that prayer according to the Lord's will. And we know that God does hear the answer or the prayer. God hears the prayers and answers them according to His will in the previous psalm, Psalm 118. The psalmist says this, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." So I ask you, is there a problem in your life that is too much for you to bear? Is there a problem in your life today that is too much for you to bear? I like to keep that pretty broad because I'm sure you all have different situations and certain things come to your mind. Secondly, is there a besetting sin in your life that always seems to get the best of you? Or are you becoming overwhelmed by the things that you are hearing in the news or hearing at the local coffee shop that is overwhelming you? Let us heed the advice of the old hymn, which we will be singing, I believe we'll be singing later on, where the psalmist says, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Let us now consider the comfort of this passage. If you were to read Psalm 119, you would find, I believe, in every single one of those sections, those eight verses, of persecution, of trials, being persecuted by kings and princes. And in verse 115, we hear this description of his enemies. It says, "They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from their law." And I'm getting ahead of myself here on my last point, but I try to emphasize when I read from Luke 22, when it said that Judas and the soldiers were drawing near. Because it says they in Psalm 150, "They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law." And the very fact that they were getting closer and closer was heightening the anxiety. Now, here in Lincoln, Nebraska, you probably don't have anyone pursuing you necessarily to take your life. But we do have an understanding of that experience of something drawing near. We know what it feels like when tax day is right around the corner. We know what it feels like when a deadline is drawing closer. And we know what it feels like when the pain that we're experiencing is so severe that we finally have to get that surgery that we've been putting off for years. And when trials and tribulations come near, we feel that buildup of worry. And as a result, we lose sleep. Worry is not good for us for multiple of reasons. But for the psalmist, although his enemies drew near, the Lord drew nearer. And he knew it. And he took comfort in the fact that God was with him in the midst of his suffering. Whatever you're going through this day, know that the Lord is near. You may not feel it, but rather know the truth that he is near. He is with you in whatever you are going through. For it says in verse 151, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true." And he also took comfort in the fact that his circumstances may change, but God and his promises do not. For he says in our last verse here, concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. If in the midst of life's uncertainties, are you looking for something stable? Are you looking for a solid ground to get your footing upon? Well, look no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else may change in this world, but Christ remains the same. We know from Scripture that it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same can be said of the promises of God to you within His Word. For we know that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. So now let us consider this passage in light of Christ. In Scripture, we see Jesus praying, both in the wee hours of the morning, or early hours in the morning, and also the late hours of the night. We see it in the beginning of his ministry and as he nears the cross. In Mark 1, verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And then the night of his betrayal, he took a few of his disciples along with him, and he stayed up during the watches of the night when his disciples could not. And like the psalmist, Jesus could say, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Unlike us, Jesus never struggled with sinful worry. Unlike us, Jesus never struggled with sinful worry. Nor did he ever stop trusting his Heavenly Father. Although Jesus was sinless, he was still and is still human, fully human. He knows natural stress and anxiety. And I would say he knows it greater than what you experience in your life. Because consider it. Jesus was about to go to the cross. He was about to bear the wrath of God on account of our sins. And he bore that so that you would never have to. Think about that. As believers, you will never experience the eternal wrath of God. You'll never experience that. Because Christ has experienced that for you. I think about this. You know, if you compare death of a believer and death of an unbeliever, we have the hope of salvation, to be with the Lord. But for the unbeliever, the best that they'll ever get is in this life. And then what follows after their death? Judgment. That's some real heavy anxiety. Yet you do not have to have that anxiety because Christ bore it for you on the cross. Now the stress that he was about to endure weighed heavily upon him, so much so that his sweat became like drops of blood. Which is a real condition, by the way, that someone can become so stressed that their sweat turns red. But instead of thinking about the cross alone, he goes to his Father in prayer for help and for strength. And in Luke 22:42, we see a genuine natural response to the suffering that Christ was about to face. He prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Doesn't that sound familiar to what we read in Psalm 119? But the psalmist says, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. Hear my voice. According to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. And although Jesus prayed for his Father to take away the suffering if possible, he nevertheless prays, not my will, but yours be done. And what was the will of our Heavenly Father? It was his will for Jesus to be taken into the hands of men, to be condemned under an earthly judge, and then suffer hell upon the cross. And in Jesus' natural weakness, he prayed. His Father heard his prayer, and his Father strengthened him so that he would be able to carry on what Jesus had come to do. And think about this. If it was necessary for Jesus, who is sinless, to pray to his Heavenly Father, how much more do we, who are sinful, need to seek our Heavenly Father in prayer? We do not have the strength to bear this life on our own. We are dependent creatures. We are dependent upon the One who has made us. And Lord, may the Lord forgive us when we try to live our lives as practical atheists, you know, ignoring the Lord throughout the week and then coming on Sunday to give attention to Him. No, we need to be dependent upon Him every single day. As the hymn says, I need Thee every hour. We need Him every hour, we need Him every minute, we need Him every second. And the very fact that Christ knows your infirmities and stands in heaven as your high priest, it should encourage you to take all your worries to the Lord in prayer. Consider what Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then what should be the result? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So I ask you again, what are you worrying about today? What is overwhelming you? If so, take comfort that the Lord is near. Take comfort that the Lord hears your cries. Take comfort that although your circumstances may change, the Lord never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll leave you with this story that's told of John Wesley. And another man. One day, John Wesley was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt as to the goodness of God. He said to Wesley, I do not know what I shall do with all this worry and trouble. At the same moment, Wesley saw a child looking over a stone wall. Wesley asked the man, do you know why that cow is looking over the wall? No, said the worried man. Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through it. That is what you must do with your wall of trouble. Look over it rather than looking at it. So what's the main application to this story? Well, faith enables you to look past your circumstances and to focus on Christ. And may that same faith enable you to take up all your words to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come before you today knowing that we need you this day. Lord, whatever someone here is experiencing or worrying about, Lord, help them. Remind them of the fact that you are near. that you do hear the prayers of your people, and that you will never break any of your promises to us. Strengthen our faith. Help us to look to Christ in the midst of our circumstances. And Lord, may you now hear our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.